Hi, this is Beatles author Mark Lewison, and you're listening to Things We Said Today with Ken Michaels and Steve Marinucci.
Well, hello, hello, and welcome once again to a Beatles show that we call Things We Said Today. This is a weekly podcast in which we focus on what's going on news-wise in the world of the Beatles. I'm Ken Michaels, and some of you know me best for another Beatles show that I host called Every Little Thing, being joined by my co-host for the show, the man who writes for Beatles Examiner, Steve Marinucci. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Ken. Hello, everyone.
Well, on today's show, we have a special guest on the phone. And I'm sure many of you are aware that with the 50th anniversary of the Beatles' arrival in America, so many special things are happening, one of which is happening in New York City. And it's not only a 50th anniversary for the Beatles' arrival, but it's also another anniversary marking the 40th anniversary of the Fest for Beatle fans. And so I thought, why not have as a guest the man who started it all, the organizer for the Fest for Beatle fans, formerly known as Beatle Fest, that being Mark Lapidus. Hi, Mark.
Good evening, Ken. How are you doing? Good evening, Steve. Good hearing from you again.
Yeah, we're doing fine.
Wow.
Well, this is a very exciting time.
And it is indeed. We've been very busy. We've been planning this for 8 months already, and sort of feel like I'm on a top of Mount Kilimanjaro going down hill and skis with no brakes. Destination February 7th.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, it's kind of remarkable in a way, and maybe it was destiny that the weekend that you're doing this happens to be the same 3 days there that the Beatles arrived in America, the 7th, 8th, and 9th. And so, and to celebrate your 40th anniversary, just the same 3 days.
Yeah, and the first fest was done at the Commodore Hotel, which is the first, we did the first two there, the same exact site where we're doing this year's, the Grand Hyatt. But as we know, Donald Trump bought his first hotel and raised it to the ground and rebuilt the Grand Hyatt. It's a beautiful five-star hotel. And I can tell you that fans from 41 states and four continents are coming in for this fest.
Wow.
And this is by far the biggest lineup of special guests we ever had, the best lineup of special guests. Tons of Beatle authors. Every day, new ones are coming in. I just got another one today, a couple hours ago. A guy named Jay Mitchell, who wrote a new book called The Walrus and the Elephants.
Right.
Mm-hmm. About John Lennon's years of revolution. And I keep getting more guests, and I have more guests that I can't even announce yet. So it's really going great. But, I mean, my headline is, I mean, Donovan. What else could I say? I mean, Donovan is, to me, he's the best guest we ever had, you know, 11 years ago. And we're so thrilled to have him back. And Peter Asher and his band will be there doing his memoirs of the 60s. And Billy J. Kramer will be on hand. And
Chad and Jeremy.
On and on, but I guess I'll add to the list as you ask me questions so I can stop talking for a few seconds at a time.
Yeah, I was going to say Chad and Jeremy. And I think,
Jeremy is next in line.
Yeah, isn't this the first time they've appeared at the fest?
This is their first time in New York. We had them in Chicago last summer.
Uh-huh.
And you know what? I'm watching them perform, and after each song, the ladies are screaming like it's 1965. It was amazing. I was floored. I mean, I knew they'd go over well, but I mean, they went over great. You know, they're terrific, and they do a great concert, just the two of them, two guitars, sometimes a keyboard. And they talk as they go along. And I guess the fact that they were on the TV shows that we all watched, the Dick Van Dyke Show, you know, everybody knows them from that era.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Batman.
Right.
And a few others.
Patty Duke.
The Dick Van Dyke one is the most famous one, for sure.
Yeah.
They played British Invasion artists.
They were basically playing the Beatles in that show. That was a wonderful show.
Yes, it was. Very memorable. It was the first time they made a sitcom out of a British Invasion artist.
Mm-hmm.
Preceding the Monkees, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Before we talk about this upcoming fest, I just want to backtrack and go back to the very first fest. Who were the guests for the first one? And when you started this, did you look at this as basically an experiment, or did you in any way think that you'd be doing this every year and pretty much making this your livelihood?
When I first thought of the idea at the end of 1973 as a 10th anniversary celebration of the Beatles' arrival in America, I thought somebody should do it. And actually, the word Beatlefest just popped into my head as the story goes over a dish of vanilla ice cream somewhere in Upper East Side around Thanksgiving time of 73. And I thought about it for a while. And 74 rolled around. I said, why not? So I took my own savings and plunked it down in the Commodore Hotel, because the questions that people would ask me is, where and when is it? So we booked it for September 7th and 8th in 1974. And I wasn't going to do the show without the Beatles' support. That was one thing. I didn't think it was right to do it without their permission. So I wrote them all letters and heard nothing, cassette letters. And then finally, Cousin Brucey announces on a Friday night on WABC in New York, folks, that John Lennon and Harry Nilsson were going to be appearing in Central Park on Sunday, April 28th, 1974, for the March of Dimes Walkathon. It was their first event. And I will tell this story in its entirety for the first time in public on the Friday night of the show. I will close the show on Friday night, and then we'll show Welcome to Pepperland, which was the first fest. We made a little film of it. But long story short, I found out where John was staying, and I knocked on his door. Harry Nilsson opened the door, and I said, hi, I'm Mark Lapidus. I want to speak to John about Beatlefest. He said, come on in. So just like that, I'm sitting there talking to John and told him the whole story about it, what I envisioned it. And he said, I'll never forget this, I'm all for it. I'm a Beatles fan, too. And he got very excited about it. I mentioned that we wanted to do charity raffles. He said, I have a guitar in my attic. I can sign for you. And he did, indeed. And that day in Central Park, I bumped into Sid Bernstein. So we invited him, and he said yes. So he was the first guest announced at the first fest, and we also had Pete Bennett was there.
Right.
We had Jim Kerr. We didn't have that many guests because we had a lot of films. Apple provided a load of films, a lot of promotional films that were never seen anywhere. No one ever saw Something or Lady Madonna in those days, and Hello Goodbye we had seen. But there was like four of them that we never saw, and they sent over to Shea Stadium and Magic Mystery Tour. And then we had live music, and we had a show, and we had to turn away 1,000 people. It was a complete sellout the first year. And, you know, it was only a one convention idea, but the first one made the cover of Rolling Stone in 74, and people started writing us. There was no emails then, no texts. I'd write a letter or call us and say, why don't you do it again? Why don't you do it again? Bring it here. Bring it there. So we did it again in 75, same reaction, and then we started heading off to other cities. And, people used to ask me, you know, how long you think this will last? I said, I have no idea. And this was like 3 years later, 4 years later, and then, you know, it kept going. And now I joke. We'll keep doing it until we get it right. But I'd never imagine my wildest dreams, nor did anybody else, that this would be a 40-year career.
Right.
It's something I'm really very proud of. And Carol, my wife, is part of it. And my daughters, Michelle and Jessica, are very much a part of the show. They love the Beatles. And they're working around the clock also now trying to get this done, because there's never been so many details ever for one show. And it's just it's a beast. It's like a wonderful beast that we have so many new activities. I mean, the girls are curating a room we're calling the Cavern. We're going to recreate the Cavern, but with younger bands geared for younger fans. So there's so many young groups nowadays. I wasn't aware of it, but the girls told me they go to concerts, and all these groups, most of them play Beatles songs in their sets, one or two songs in their own interpretation. Mm-hmm. So they're inviting a lot of bands. Some are more well-known than others, but they'll be playing music all evening, all three nights. They'll be doing jams, and I think one night's a disco, a Beatles disco night or a techno night. But it's all revolving around the Beatles. So the groups will come in, and they'll play their own music and alternate with their interpretations of Beatles songs. And this could be Beatles fashion, the Bloomingdale's line of clothing that was out. They're donating some of the clothes, and Jessica's doing a fashion show on the opening night. So that's a whole new room that we've never done before.
And that Bloomingdale stuff is gorgeous.
It is. You know, we bought some, but couldn't resist.
Well, yeah, and I saw it in San Francisco when I did the event with Mark Lewison, and
right.
I just was floored at some of the stuff they had, and it's amazing.
Yeah, so we have that. We have a drum symposium.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
Yes, we haven't even announced yet. Danny Seraphine, one of the founding members of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
he'll be there. Liberty DeVito, who's now a member of Billy J. Kramer's band. I guess he likes all artists that are named Billy J.
That's right.
He's wonderful. He was there last year. He'll be part of the symposium. I think there's another surprise drummer or two coming along. And Cousin Brucey is doing his show live on Saturday evening, right from our stage.
Mm-hmm. That's really exciting because I lived back east for a while, and I heard Cousin Brucey, and I was there when he gave, I don't know if you remember this, Mark, when he, the night he gave the Order of the All-American to the Beatles on radio. Did you hear it? Do you remember hearing that?
Order of the All-American, no.
Yeah, ask him about that, because
I will.
What happened was they were playing a Beatles song, WABC was, and they broke in. I think it was What You're Doing, and they broke in, and he and Dan Ingram were coming from the Warwick Hotel live, and they interviewed all four of them, and they gave him a medal called the Order of the All-American.
Wow.
It was amazing. I was sitting there, and I happened to have my reel-to-reel tape recorder running, recording the music, and all of a sudden I'm getting the Beatles live on the radio, and my mouth is just going, oh, my God.
Did you still have that on tape? You transposed it at some point?
I did, actually, but it's on the Internet. You can find it on the Music Radio 77 website. It's all there.
Okay.
It's a great interview. I mean, and in fact, I remember Paul looking at the microphones, and I guess it said WABC, and he goes, and actually it was kind of a Leninish thing he did. He looks at it and he goes, Wabak Radio, which was really kind of funny. But yeah, and they talked to all four of them, and it was a great thing.
Wow.
But yeah, it's on the Music Radio 77 website.
Well, WABC is where I first heard I Want to Hold Your Hand.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
So
I wasn't there then.
It was January 6th, and it was
okay.
On the Scott Muni show, who immediately, he was in between Dan Ingram and Cousin Brucey.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like 7:45. I'll never forget it.
I
was sitting in bed doing my homework. It was the first night back from school after the two-week vacation, and this song comes on the radio. And immediately I stopped what I was doing and just sat up in the bed. I got so excited and said, who is this? What is this? What am I listening to?
Uh-huh.
And Scott Muni says, that was a song called I Want to Hold Your Hand from a group from England called The Beatles. And that was the first time I ever heard The Beatles mentioned. I wasn't around those last 2 weeks to get all the promotion that was around because I was in the Catskill Mountains where I couldn't get radio. So that was the first time I heard them. And I said, my first thought was, besides the fact that they grabbed the song Never Let Go, but it was the name The Beatles. I said, what a strange name for a group. The next day I came home from school, it was number one. So I heard it one day, and then the next day was number one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was hooked a month before the Ed Sullivan show. And
for most Americans, that was the first song there.
Introducing The Beatles the first time was for my birthday, which is coming up in a couple days.
Happy 64.
Birthday. Oh, happy birthday.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it still is in January, but it's 50 years more later. So,
mm-hmm.
So that's, but I'm proud to be a baby boomer. We baby boomers refuse to age. We're young at heart,
mm-hmm.
and we get, we still got loads of baby boomers, even though we get, two and three generations of fans. The baby boomers, our generation, just, you have to be one of us to know what we went through. We went through the greatest explosion of music and entertainment in history. There's never been anything like that. There never will be. The world is made up right now of ingredients that can never allow that to happen.
That's very true.
That's very true.
It can't. It will never happen, and it will never anybody be as good as the Beatles. It just was a once in a millennium situation where they just happened to be the four best of everything. It just was molded into one group. How it happened, fate, but it just worked out that way. And we're lucky enough to be through it. And now here it is 50 years later, and I'm still doing these shows and loving it. And I see so many familiar faces every year, but this year we're going to be a lot of new faces because it's going to be double the size of any show we've done in a long, long time. And it's very exciting.
It's an amazing thing when you think about it, that it's 50 years ago. And when I was growing up as a teenager in the 70s, and obviously as a little kid, I heard the Beatles music, you know, on the radio all the time, and I bought all the records, but we weren't talking about music from the 20s, you know, growing up, or the 30s.
No, not at all.
Not to knock that music at all, but here it is, and the Beatles are just so fascinating still, and people, young audiences, are finding them. I remember a few years ago when you had the cast of Across the Universe at the fest, and you had such a strong audience there of young people who were, I guess, their initiation to the Beatles could have come from that movie. So
here's a quick story. It was, definitely, because we had a big bump. It was all young fans. We had them signing autographs before they appeared on the stage. And they had to stop because they had to go to the stage. And there were still some kids online waiting. I said, you know, they're going to be back here signing afterwards. They said, that's okay. I know everything about them. I just want to meet them. And I'm saying, boy, 50 years before, you know, whatever, 46 years or whatever it was, I said, you know, I could have imagined me saying that. Just want to meet him. I know all about him and stuff like that.
Mm.
So but I saw a Beatles fan from 64 when I saw her say that. So back to the fest this year.
Yeah.
we are doing so many, I can't even mention them all. There's not even enough time. But besides Cousin Brucey's show, Ken Dashaw is doing his show on Sunday morning, Breakfast of the Beatles. So we got the two shows, one on Saturday night, one on Sunday morning. And Billy J. Kramer is going to be performing live on Ken's show. There will be some performances on Brucey's show, and he's bringing in some special guests, which I can't tell you yet. and there's three major guests who everybody in the Beatle world absolutely knows for sure and loves, of which none have been announced yet, and I don't think any of them will be. And we're still working on more.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like it's just incredible. It just amazes me how all these people are coming together. And even people like Mark Lewisohn will be there on Sunday, the whole day.
Mm-hmm.
Larry Kane is there. He'll be doing his one-man show to open the show on Friday. Of course, Liverpool's back. They're going to be, Steve Holly is sitting in for Chris on drums from Wings, and that's going to be a wild evening of music because even more guests are planning, I'm working on, to come down and say hello on Sunday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night to salute their love for the Beatles and join the band and join Mark Hudson for some Beatling.
Yeah.
Got Mark Rivera coming.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He'll be performing. He can't be there on Saturday evening and Sunday because his boss, Billy Joel, is playing in Raleigh, North Carolina. So he's got to be out of there on Saturday. That's the requirement.
Wow.
That's his rules, and of course that's his main boss, and you got to
understand
it. So Friday night, we're going to break tradition, and he's going to do some jamming with Liverpool. So they're going to play some, not just dance music, you know, not just the dance, but some songs, you know, like, obviously like Lady Madonna, Got to Get You Into My Life. And so he can jam out a little bit.
Hey, Mark, how did you find Liverpool? I mean, they've been a part of the fest for so long.
How did I find them?
Yeah.
The original lead guitarist, Jonathan Rapolo, wrote us a letter. They had been attending every year, and they said, we have a new band called Liverpool, and we're playing in, I think it was Iona College. Would you like to come see us? I still have that letter. And we went to see them, and Carol and I were very, very impressed. And I don't even think they were 20 yet. So we invited them in 79 to be our guests, be a band. And they've grown so much over the years. They really are the best in the world, and they play pretty much just for us. They played private parties and weddings and special events, but pretty much they just play for us. They have four separate careers in music, but when they play together, they are just fabulous. They get it, and fans come back every year to see them. They're just wonderful. The best thing about the show is the last 3 hours after they do their set, then we bring on all the other musical guests, and they come on and do their hits.
Right.
With Liverpool backing up. And I'll never forget it, when Ronnie Spector was there 5 years ago, was it 5 years? It could have been six, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago, one of those. And we're watching the rehearsal on Friday afternoon. First thing they do is Be My Baby. And one take, and Ronnie turns to them and says, "You guys sound like the Record." Four guys singing. And they nail it all. They just know the music, and they have a great sense of music. And when they back, to me, that's the most special time of the show, when Donovan's going to do his hits. He'll do a concert on his own acoustic. He'll plug in for Electric Donovan on Saturday night, and probably Sunday night too. And I remember in Jersey when he played, I asked him to do Atlantis, and I was just, my tears were rolling down my eyes. Donovan is doing Atlantis on my stage. Oh my God. He's doing on Sunday afternoon, he's doing a talk, Meditation and the White Album. So, of course, they'll have a guitar and show the picking techniques that we all know. And one of the songs is a song called Dear Prudence. And Dear Prudence Farrow is a new announced guest from about a week ago, 2 weeks ago. And she will be there in person, and she'll join Donovan on stage at that time. So we're excited. She's never been at the fest before, and she'll be talking about her experiences and why she wouldn't come out to play. And she teaches TM. So we have an ashram room dedicated to that. People from, I guess, the David Lynch Foundation, Transcendental Meditation, they'll be talking about it and getting, let people, fans know about what they're all about.
Wow.
Trying to teach, teach a better way of life and a healthier way. There's a lot of good health. My daughters both do TM. Not quite all the time like they're supposed to, but they get a lot out of it. Mm-hmm. So maybe I'll try it. Never too old.
That's true. What's the best celebrity anecdote about a past fest? I know the year that Ronnie Wood showed up when Patty Boyd was there.
That was
cool. But was there another story? Is there another incident that happened that is kind of a surprise thing that you didn't expect, or that kind of, it wasn't, let's put it this way, wasn't mentioned ahead of time or something like that?
Oh,
or?
Boy, I got to think about that. We've had a lot of guests come down and surprise. I know when they didn't go on stage, but Don Was showed up in L.A., and Roger McGuinn showed up in L.A.
Oh, wow.
Mm. Who else? John Ritter came to the first one. Paul Reiser came. Bill Maher in L.A.
I was just going to mention Bill Maher, because I was standing in the dealer room, and he walked in and started looking at Beatle records right across from me, and we looked up and we went, "Hi, Bill." And this was years before. I mean, this was years before the HBO thing. So this is when he was still doing Politically Incorrect.
Right. David, the guy from Miami Vice.
David Caruso.
David Caruso. He used to bring his daughter every year.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get him. He'll come back, I'm sure. His daughter's 14 years older, but they can come back.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember when Mal Evans was our guest in 75. That was the greatest thing anyone ever told me. The biggest compliment, I should say. After the weekend, here's a guy that lived and breathed Beatles for, 14 years, I think, from 61 to 75, because he kept working with all of them. He said to me, after the weekend, he said, "Mark, this was the greatest weekend of my life."
Was he an actual guest? Okay, because I didn't remember that he actually...
Oh, 75 in New York City.
Okay.
I can't even remember how I got him. I remember some woman contact put me in touch with him, and we met in a hotel room with him there, and and it was... he was all set to do it. He was telling, and he agreed. He said, "I'm writing a book." And then afterwards, he said, "Mark, I want to keep doing these." I spoke to him about a week before he was killed.
Oh.
He was so looking forward to coming to the next shows. And, you know, it's just a shame. But I'm with watching Magical Mystery Tour. I'm sitting with him, and he's telling me, while the movie's going on, "Oh, Mark, you know what? We didn't even have our passports. I don't remember how I got them to France, but we just got them there. And it's freezing. It's like we're freezing our asses off doing the Fool on the Hill. And then just the two of them went. No money in their pockets. No passports."
That's priceless.
That's a great story.
Yeah.
I wish I could remember all the stories that he told me, but he kept talking about it. But that was the one I remembered the most.
I don't know if you can tell this, but has there ever been any possibility that a Beatle would show up?
Yeah, was going to show on Saturday morning of the first fest. Tony King, he brought all the instruments down that I hadn't gotten. And he said, "John wants to come down tomorrow night to pick the winner of his guitar." And that was the biggest secret I ever had to keep my whole life. Only two people knew about it. One was a policeman. So we had a path from the outside through the kitchen to the balcony. We had set up a microphone. And I guess with Jim Kerr, was our MC, he was either spreading rumors or hearing rumors. "I hear John's in the lobby somewhere."
Oh, wow.
So I guess when May Pang went back to him and said, "It's so jammed there, you'll get mobbed," he must have gotten cold feet.
But
he was interviewed by Lisa Robinson that day, I think from Circus Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "John, you know, while we're sitting here just a few blocks away, thousands of fans were attending a Beatle Fest." He says, "Yeah, I know all about it. I met the guy, and sounds like a great event." And here's how he described it. He said, and this is a quote, he said, "It's sort of smacks of Rudolph Valentino." That was the quote, never explained. But I did get to see him and talk to him about the show afterwards a few months later, and thanked him and told him firsthand how great it was and how much I appreciate it. And then the next year, we did it again, and he supported it again and sent some things for the charity. So he was, you know, he helped out. He sent messages to the shows and things, you know, through the 70s.
Hmm. Did he ever indicate that he might show up later on? I mean, those last 5 years.
You know, I didn't want to keep inviting him. I like keeping a distance, you know, even now. But everyone's being invited this year, I can tell you that. Don't have any, I wouldn't tell anybody if I knew anyway, but if it does happen, you know, they're going to be in town that weekend. At least I believe Paul will be there.
Mm-hmm.
He lives here most of the time, so, you know,
right.
You never know. You know, it's, to say hi to the fans. You know, 40 years we're doing this, and we got the most loyal fans on the planet come to our shows, and they're aware of it. They know exactly what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's my hope that one day, and we've only got two of them to hope for, and, you know, even if it's come in for 1 minute and say hi, wave, and thank you, and blow kisses, or peace and love, or whatever, and that's all, you know, that's a lifelong dream.
You've had guys, I remember one year, there was a guy that looked like Ringo, a Ringo impersonator.
In L.A., we have, in the last couple of years in New York and Chicago, we've had one, even a closer Ringer.
Oh, really?
He calls himself Ringer.
Mm-hmm. I've heard of him.
And he looks just like, he really does look like Ringo.
What's the reaction when he shows up?
You know, people, you know, gravitate toward him a little bit. They know it's not him.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really eerie. But, you know, it's all about the music. In fact, John sent a message to the fans in 79. He said, "Tell the fans the music was the thing." Very simple and so, you know, so right on the button.
Yeah.
You know, it's the music. Still is the music. All these years later, why are we still nuts about them? Because the music was the greatest music ever recorded. And, you know, when young fans, when you think about it, young fans hear the songs, they hear some of the songs on the radio, they hear some of the songs from their parents or grandparents, they can get, like, let's say, Revolver, and they could put Revolver on, and they'll hear mostly new songs they never heard before. For them, it's a new album.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm jealous. We can never hear a new album anymore of new music. They can.
Mm-hmm.
And young people all around the world can hear new music because they can't hear all the songs at one time. So they put on an album. There's a new Beatles album. And the music is timeless. 50 years later and still timeless.
Absolutely.
It's an incredible legacy, and it keeps growing, and it will never, it will always, it's like Beethoven will be known forever, Shakespeare and the Beatles, their music will be known forever, and it'll never be topped.
Hmm. You've had so many.
I feel honored to be somehow part of their, of the aura of what they do, and the fact that we can get fans together and celebrate. And Paul was asked on the radio the day after Michelle was born, so what do you think of Beetlefest? The guy from L.A., Bob Coburn, asked the question. He said, oh, I think it's great that fans still get together and celebrate the Beatles and trade memorabilia. And this was back in 1984. Sorry.
Okay.
And, then he started lambasting his former employee who wrote that book in 83. And he said, go ahead, sue me if you want. I don't care. But he had very nice things to say, and I'm hoping maybe this will be the year. It's a 50th anniversary year. You never know. I'm not trying to spread rumors. I'm not trying to say this to attract more people. We're going to be filled up anyway, and
right.
there's an expectation, a mild expectation, and a huge hope. And me too.
I would I would like to see, if nothing else, maybe a taped message from one or both of them. I think that would be. That would get people going crazy.
It would. I want. Let's do it in person, and let's just do it.
Okay.
And say hi and come
there
in and
go.
Out and wave and just let us show love to you. You know how much we love you, and let us show you in person. It's just for a minute.
Hmm. Ken,
that's a dream. This whole thing started out as a dream. Everybody thought I was nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Then when I announced on Friday in 74, I'm going to meet John on Sunday. Yeah, right. 100,000 people there, and you're going to meet John. I'm going to meet him. How? I don't know. I'm going to meet him. And everyone thought I was crazy. I didn't know how it was going to happen. I didn't know till that day I was going to meet him. But it was just something about it. And it's just, call it fate. I mean, sometimes you have to believe in fate. I'm living proof because I knew it. I could have kept it to myself and not talked out loud about it, but I told everybody. I knew. Ask Al Sussman. He was around. We were working together, and he was there when I worked at Sam Goody, you know, the Sam Goody days. So we were the Beatle nuts of Sam Goody.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you, Mark, because you've had so many incredible guests through the years, and to me, it seems like, wouldn't it be wonderful if you could put together DVDs through the years of either interviews with the guests or performances? Although performances, you have clearances with music.
Yeah, there you go. I've thought about it. We've taped most of them every year. Of course, the early ones were on Betamax, and they weren't professionally done. But we have cassette, tape recordings of all of them. But we're thinking of, we were trying to get a book together for this one, but I'm glad I didn't try it because I'm going nuts as it is.
Hmm.
We'll put a book together, maybe put a DVD with the book or something. But yeah, the history of the fest, all 40 years and all the guests and highlights, I'd like to find, things that were said on stage that people never knew. There was new information.
Right.
As we still know, there's more new information. Reading Mark's book, holy mackerel, look at all that new information.
Mm-hmm.
But during the fest, we had people on stage, and, I hadn't thought about that. And then tells a story. No one ever heard these stories. These were personal stories from people who were there. And, I'm so lucky to have met everybody involved in the Beatles story except Brian. All the Beatles and George Martin and every guest we ever had, and that's the whole. We got them all, and we got everybody, and they were just. You realize that what made the Beatles was so special, and what helped is that the people around them were loyal. Look at Frida Kelly, how loyal she was. Neil, loyal. Mal, loyal. They just demanded loyalty, not by saying it, but by just being the Beatles. They had a wonderful people around them, and their spirit got passed through to all most of the people who worked for them. And they just, well, I mean, when I went to London in 69, I met John Lennon. I shook his hand. I got his autograph. I took his picture. I'm walking around London all night with my friend, who was also a big fan, but not one of us, not a Beatlemaniac. Mm-hmm. I'm walking around. I said, I just shook God's hand. I shook one of their hands. I said, I want to work for the Beatles. And that's what Richard DeLauro said. He worked for the Beatles. James Taylor, I want to record for the Beatles. You know, it's like I walked around them, and 5 years later, who knew what would happen? I'd actually get a job. When I got out of college, I wanted to work for the Beatles, and I ended up working with Sam Goody selling Beatle records. And then 5 years later, all this happened. You know,
yeah.
You never know where things come from in a lifetime. And this is to be able to take a love that I've had all my life, 50 years, and make it into a career where I can share this love and spread their message of peace and love around the country to so many hundreds of thousands of fans. You know, it has to make some sort of difference that we all go back into our after the weekend shows. They go back home and they spread some of this love that emanates all from those grooves and those records. Mm. And it's something I'm very, very proud of. And how long will I continue? If this one doesn't kill me, I guess I'll do some more. But it's very exciting. And this show is gonna take every... I mean, we have, including Ken, we have, I think, eight monitors for the panel discussions. We have Alan Kozin, who wasn't even announced the last week, from the New York Times. Darren DeVivo, Mitch Axelrod and his group from the Fab Four Free For All. Tom Frangione. We have, I can't even think of them all right now. They're escaping me. Al Sussman. But in the main room, it's just a lot of stuff going on, and it's going to be quite a show.
Let me ask one quick question, because I know we're running up the edge. You said you met all four of them.
Yes.
When did you meet all? Just give a brief when you met all four of them. Well, you already said John. You already said John, but
I saw them all together briefly. I didn't meet them in '64 in Florida.
Okay.
They were leaving the Dover Hotel. I happened to be there on vacation with my parents.
Wow.
So I got to knock on their window and waving, running down Collins Avenue. They were all four of them are waving back to me. I was the only kid on the street. It's another story for a separate time. But I met them. I met Paul a number of times. I met Ringo really just briefly once or twice. But George, I met a couple of times. But one time in 76 when I was out in L.A., he was in the courtroom trying to get out of his contract with A&M, and I was in the courtroom. And then during the intermission, during the break, he's just outside in the hallway, and I went up to him and we talked for a half hour. It was a wonderful conversation. We talked about Beatles. I said, if you need me as a character witness, that your music should be coming out. It shouldn't be held up in courts. I said, I was there for you. And I mentioned about the fest. If he wants to, we invited him down. He said, I'd love to come, but I'm going to be in New York City doing Saturday Night Live that weekend. Which he did. But he said, I have three promotional films that I'm going to send down for the show. And we have a dark horse. If you can pick it up, you can put it on display. And we did. So he was all excited. And I got his autograph on my flyer. So he was very friendly.
And you said you met George Martin.
Hmm?
You said you met George
Martin. George Martin I met in L.A. also. Briefly, I invited him to the show, and he said, "Well, not now. Maybe for the 50th." But he's not. He doesn't really do things in public much anymore. He has trouble hearing, and I, you know, it's not his thing, you know.
Yeah.
Some people, Derek Taylor, almost we never had him at the show, but he did an hour videotape just for us. He said he didn't want to. He was AA. He had beaten the habit of alcohol, And he said, I'm just afraid if I go in front of people, which I never do, I never speak in front of people, it'll just I'll be weak. So it was,
Interesting.
Have you ever shown that video publicly?
We showed it the show, yeah.
Oh, okay. You show it this year?
I haven't thought about it. It's on beta. I'd have to transfer it a couple times. Probably not. I probably won't get to that, although it would be a nice thing to show. I should take it out and dust it off. Laura Gross did the interview for us. She used to be on our staff. And the other last thing was Paul I met a few times, a couple times recently, but in the day after Michelle was born, he was in, wait, this was, wait, baby, the night, yeah, one was the night, it was the next day. We had a premiere, he had a premiere of Broad Street. Hmm. So we had helped him get people on the street to for the premiere, and I gave him a pink chocolate cigar. I said, Carol couldn't make it tonight. We just had a baby girl named Michelle. So he looked at the chocolate cigar and said, this isn't going to blow up in your face now, is it? And I managed to arrange it, so I sat right in front of Paul and Linda for the whole movie. And I knew they were right behind me. I could feel their eyes. And I'm cheering and screaming at the right parts. And you know, the audience, a lot of critics in there, so they weren't all screaming so much and yelling. But the fans were, and it was a wonderful experience. George Martin, one thing he said, it was a trivia question, the last question. I said to him, how come the trumpet solo at the end is of Penny Lane is different on the promotional copy and not the regular copy? He had no idea. He said, you know, Capitol wanted a single. We had a single. We just mixed it and sent it over to them. It meant nothing. It's like he didn't even know about it. We had to send it. You know, they demanded a single. So we sent over the two songs we had. And I guess at that mix of that moment was the piccolo trumpet at the end. And they cut it out at the end for the release. So there's another story.
There we go.
So any other questions before we turn this over to the world?
No, I love those anecdotes. So that was great. Oh, I guess the last question would be, and you kind of covered it, Mark, is what does an event like the Fest mean to the fans? What have you found that it means to the fans?
It's like a family get together. It's like Ken Dash, our Q104, calls it a Beatles Thanksgiving. In Chicago, we get fans from all over the country because it's in the summertime. It's easier to travel, and it's really like a reunion. I mean, there's parts of the show that aren't even listed. It's like the sing-alongs under the stairs in Chicago and in Jersey. There's just people playing music all the time, and it's just like we just get there to share our common love. And it's a reunion. You go to a high school reunion, a camp reunion, college reunion. You meet people that you had a similar background. But this is so much more of a feeling. That's a real, real feeling. College and high school is like, you know, you were put there. You didn't have a choice. Here, you heard the music and you chose them. Well, they chose us. And we all got hooked on them. And we know that everybody at the Fest is there because of the same reason. We all love the Beatles. And they affect our lives. And they've made us, I think, better people for better people on the planet. No matter who we have as guests, no matter what goes on at the show, it's still the feeling of the show, and that's why it's lasted 40 years. It's not just all the guests, but it's a combination of everything. So
it's pretty remarkable.
I just love that. And everyone comes up to me during the show, Mark, hi, how are you doing? Remember me? And I'm saying, yeah, I remember faces. I can't remember the names and the faces together, but I remember them. I like saying hello to everybody and meeting people, and. That's what's so special about it. And this one, we've gotten people who haven't come for 5 and 10 years because life gets in the way of things, children, grandchildren, college bills, and retirements. People move to Florida, they come back for the show. It's really quite something. And the hotel is almost filled with Fest people, and that's a gigantic hotel. And they've never seen anything like this at the hotel for a long time because we have. There's four floors of rooms, and we got them all. We have every inch of the hotel, and we need it all because we have all these special events. But can I tell your audience, besides hello and goodbye, that if they go to thefest.com, they can read all about the show, and tickets are still available. People can still get tickets and join us. Right? You're on the East Coast, there's plenty of time. You know, if you other parts of the country, there's still hotel rooms available. Not many, but join us. The Grand Hyatt is 42nd Street, right where it all started in New York City. And we're also doing something for the JFK arrival, which will be announced soon.
Okay.
I was going to say, Mark, that for some people, it's the only time of the year when they see certain friends.
Yeah, you're right. It is. Well, Ken, you're a fan. You come to the shows a lot on the East Coast. What's your feelings about it?
Oh, well, I love it for a lot of reasons because there's so many things going on. There's something for everyone. But I mainly go because I love the guests who are there. I love to talk to the listeners that I have of my radio show and now the show with Steve. So I have so many years going back to my years in New Jersey that I have a lot of people from those days who come up to me who remember those times. So it's a chance to meet the fans and certain friends of mine that I only do get to see once a year. And I do really love being on those panels because to be with people like Al Sussman, you know, people who have spent years doing work on the Beatles. Like Al's been writing for Beatle Fan now for what, 35 years, something like that?
Yeah, right from the start, yeah.
It's pretty remarkable. When you put all those years in, it shows to me not just that you're a fan, but it shows dedication. You know, and it's so remarkable when I think of someone like him or you with this 40th anniversary. You know, it's pretty incredible. Beatle Fan Magazine coming out with their 1,000th issue, something like that.
35 years, yeah.
You know, it's incredible when you think about that. You don't realize it as you're doing it sometimes.
You keep doing it, and then all of a sudden, it's a career.
Yeah.
Tell me about it. I mean, I wasn't doing as much writing about the Beatles as I am now, but, I mean, I was at my first fest. I don't know if you remember which one this was, Mark, but my first one was the Cynthia Lennon Fest.
1982.
Right, and because I remember my friend saying, Cynthia Lennon's going to be there, and I said, that's it, I'm going. And I did, and I, you know, and because I'm going to say it on the air, I had a crush on Cynthia in the 60s, and I told her that, and she kind of looked at me a little strange, but it was great to meet her. She was very nice.
She was very pleasant. Yes,
I met so many great people. I met Louise Harrison. I met Jackie Lomax. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about that when he passed away. That I had met him in L.A. and.
Yeah,
and,
I had spoken
Billy.
To him. I spoke to him last year because we were in the last couple of years trying to. He was living out in. Aunt Inez, California,
mm-hmm.
30 years already, and mm-hmm. I invited him, and it just didn't work out for summer because he was going to Europe to home to his family, and I was hoping to get him for this year, and
yeah,
too late.
And I remember Billy Preston. Billy Preston was there too. And,
that's one of my greatest moments.
I think I have a picture in an elevator of me and Billy Preston together. And that was, boy, that was something, too. I mean, there's just so many great memories and so many, you know, you come away from these things just feeling so good. You can talk about the Beatles without having to worry about people looking at you going, what are you, you know, you're getting a little too into this because that's not, you know, because everybody is really into it and that's what they want to talk about. And, you know, and they just want to remember the music and the memories. And that's. You know, that's what the great thing about these things are. You know,
and there's so much to talk about. You know, so much history. You know, not just besides the music and the memories. There's all these factoids and history
and especially deep history.
You know, there's no other group that's been analyzed like this. Even the Rolling Stones. You know, who knew? You know, we have the basic story, but you know, that was it. You know, here you get so many books and they. They all have some. Most of them have some value to them, you know. They reveal little bits and pieces here and there. And Robert Rodriguez's book last year with Revolver, or it was 2 years ago, got a new appreciation of the album.
Right. You know?
And anyway, thank you so much for inviting me on your show. Go to thefest.com to look at the information about the show. We have the world's largest Beatles mail order business that we've developed over the years. And we'll be in Chicago August 15th through 17th. In L.A. for the first time in 14 years, October 10th through 12th at the L.A. Airport Marriott Hotel. It'll be our 25th L.A. show, by the way, so it's a silver anniversary.
Is that the same L.A. Hotel that you used before?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's what I kind of what I thought.
Yeah. We had the Bonaventure for like 11 years or 13 mm-hmm. years, and then back mm-hmm. to the Airport Marriott. It's a nice place. Everything's on one floor.
Yes,
like.
It is. It is a very nice place. I will say that.
Yeah, well, thank you very much, guys, and Ken, we'll see you in at the February 7th, 8th, and 9th.
Yeah, you definitely will.
Grand Hyatt.
Yeah.
Peace and love. Peace and love.
Peace and love.
All right. Take care, guys.
All right, thanks a
Bye-bye.
Lot.
Bye.
Thank you. Good night.
All right. Wasn't that wonderful? Special guest with us on the phone, Mark Lapidos from The Fest. Thanks so much for joining us, Mark. This is Ken Michaels for Things We Said Today. Thanking all of you for listening, and I'll see you next time.
And this is Steve Marinucci for Things We Said Today, saying that was a great interview with Mark Lapidos. And again, thank you, Mark, and we will see you next time.